Amen. Thank you. Good to see you today. And if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to the Gospel of John. John chapter 2 is where we'll find ourselves today. And John is one of my favorite books, and there's lots and lots to glean from it. And so we started looking at I am statements that are found in the Gospel of John, talking about how we get our identity not in what we do or what we have, but in Christ and in Christ alone. And I hope you do realize that. Encourage you. I enjoyed that series. I hope you did as well. And now we're starting back at the beginning of the Gospel, and we'll work our way through the rest of it to see what we glean from this. And so in chapter 1, John gives it's really a summary, an introduction of what the gospel is going to cover and coming to an understanding of who Jesus was and why he came. And so that's where we pick up, and I've titled this morning's message, The Keys to Life with Jesus. And so you probably have, like on my various key rings, and I've got my AirTag there, so when I lose my keys, I can push the button in it. Oh, see, we need to change the batteries. Yes. All right, we're having an intermission, so chat amongst yourselves for a second. It's a good message, so I don't want to get going. Now we have full juice, so we should be good. All right, so we've got our keys. Keys are helpful because they help us get into things that are locked. And if you have the right key, now I have keys, and these car keys will probably, hopefully, only unlock two cars in the parking lot, mine and Leslie's. And I sometimes get them confused. The other day I was at Walmart, and I'm sitting here pushing this button, and I'm like, why on earth? I couldn't find my, and I, you know, so I was pushing. Why on earth didn't it be? I said, oh, that's not my car. So you could have a lot of keys, but if it's not the right key, they don't do you a whole lot of good, do they? So I want you to understand that a lot of people trying to get through life with a lot of different keys. But as Jesus is teaching us, there's only one key that will open the door to life. And there's only one key to the kingdom of God. And guess what it is? It's Jesus. And so let's take a look. Beginning in John chapter 2, we're going to read the first 12 verses. It says, on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding, and when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. And Jesus said to her, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. And now there were set there six water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And then he said to them, draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast. And they took it. And when the master of the feast had tasted the water that had been made wine, and he did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to him, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then they set out the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now. this beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum, he, his mother, his brothers, and his disciples. And they did not stay there very many days. Wow, what an interesting way to start the ministry. And so we see that there's Jesus had called the disciples, you remember, in that first chapter after John in the beginning mentioned about how Jesus was the Word. And now he had called his disciples, went to his brother and said, "Hey, listen, we found the Messiah. Come and see." And so there's this band of disciples around, and they go to a wedding. And that's where Jesus begins his ministry. And so that's where we want to pick up today. And it's interesting. A lot of interesting things can be taken from these 12 verses that we've read. So they get there. That weddings are a big deal. They are death. I'm going to turn this to Leslie's microphone. All right. You can hear me now. All right. Now, you probably can hear me anyway, but we want to make sure Facebook can hear us and all that good stuff. So weddings were a major thing in Jewish life. They still are today, just like weddings. My goodness, I remember our wedding. It's a wonder we even made it to day one. I'm just going to be honest with you. But we did, and now we're in year 21. So God is good. But you know what? We spent a lot of money and a lot, I mean, my goodness, the preparation. There's so many things. You got invitations, and then you got to pick all this other stuff out, and you got to send the invitations. And we don't, it is a to-do. But you know what? It lasts 20 minutes. That service that you spent months and months and months planning is over in 20 minutes. And then the reception or whatever afterward, it might last an hour. But so you got an hour, half, but you spent months and months and months getting ready for it. Now the point, the wedding ceremony and the part, listen, you can, that's not what makes a marriage work. And that's what not what makes a marriage legal either. You know, it's just, it can be a two-minute, you know, service, and that's just as, you're just as married as if it's a 20-minute or a 2-hour. If you're, Catholic weddings are forever long. Baptists, we do it short and sweet. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. I don't know where that came from or why I told you that. But weddings are a big deal, and they should be. That's a wonderful thing. And the Bible uses marriage as a picture of Jesus and the church. And so it really is a wonderful picture. And that is why Jesus came, was to give life and to claim his bride, the church, to redeem all those who would call upon him, who would receive his gift, would have eternal life. And we'll talk about that next week when we get to chapter 3. But weddings were a big deal. And so they're at this wedding in Cana of Galilee, and Mary comes to her son, says, "Hey, they're out of wine," which that's a big deal. If you are at a wedding feast, even today, and somebody comes up to you and says, "Hey, listen, they're out of food," that's a big deal, especially down here in the South, isn't it? And Jesus' response, in our English translation, it comes out like Jesus is not being respectful to his mother. That is not the case, I don't think. When he addresses his mother, he does it in love. But he says, "Listen, my time hasn't come yet." And Mary goes to the servants at the wedding and says, "Whatever he says, do it." What an odd thing. This very likely was a relative of some sort. And the servants there do what they say, oh, we're. So they have these big water pots that they use for purification. There were six of them, and they were big water pots, 20 or 30 gallons of water they held. So that was a pretty big pots. Jesus said, fill them up. And they did. And he said, take the water to the master of the ceremonies and give it to him. And it had been made wine. And they're not what this sermon is about. There's discussion about that, and that's a whole other sermon, a whole other discussion I'd love to have with you. If you'd like, we can discuss that later. But they went and they took. So what is Jesus trying to get across, and why did John put this here in the beginning of the gospel as Jesus was beginning his ministry? John's the only one that mentions this account. As there's a lot of things that only John mentions. But by the way, just in another rabbit trail for a second, if, you know, things don't have to be in the Bible a dozen times for us to take notice of it. If it's in there once, we better take notice of it. And it's there because God wants it to be there. And so Jesus is, I think John is trying to get us to understand who Jesus is and what the key to understanding why he came and what that means for me and you. And so I think there's three keys that we find here in these 12 verses. The first is the key of trusting. The key of trusting. Mary trusted Jesus to do what was right, not to, but she didn't know what Jesus was going to do. But she knew that Jesus could do something about the situation. And so she goes and she says, hey, they're out of wine. And Jesus' response is, my time hasn't come yet. What you're concerned about is not my concern. In other words, I don't have anything to do about that. But Mary trusted that her son could do something about the situation. And so she said to the servants, again, whatever he says, do it. In order for her to have said that, she has to have trust, doesn't she? She has to trust that Jesus is able to do something about it and that he's willing to do something about it. We need to remember that Mary understood. She knew what very few others knew at this point, was that Jesus was God. She knew what the angel had told her. And she knew that what the angel told her had come true, even though she questioned and said, listen, I don't understand how that can be, because I know the facts of life and I know where babies come from, and that ain't how it works. But guess what? 9 months later, Jesus came, just like the angel said that he would. So, Jesus wants us to understand, John wants us to understand, that one of the important keys for us living the life that God wants us to is trusting him. And again, to trust him means that you have to have a relationship with him. And that's where it begins, is first of all, trusting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as the Gospel of John is going to reveal throughout all these chapters. That is truth. But where our part comes into play is trusting the reality of that. So it's like the key has already been made, and it's already been made available to you, but in order for you to be able to open the door of life, what do you have to first do? You first have to take the key. And then not only do you have to take the key, but you have to trust that the key is the key that it's supposed to be. And when you do that, it leads us to something else. So we have to trust. That's where it begins. The second is the key of obeying. You see, it's not just a matter of saying a prayer. Maybe even it's not even a matter of being baptized, being dunked in water, which is publicly testifying that an inward change has taken place. That's where it begins. But that is not where it ends. If we've made that decision, that's the first step. But then we have to daily continue to make the decision to obey God. If we belong to Him and we say we're His, that means we're going to obey Him. And so what Mary said to the servants, I think John says we need to all apply to ourselves. What was Mary's response when Jesus said, "It's not my time, that's not my concern"? She said to the servants, "Whatever He says to you to do, do it." And friend, can I tell you something that is a secret to the Christian life, and it's not a secret? You will be blessed if you obey God, if you do what He says. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to have everything you want and everything's going to be easy, but you will be blessed. If you say you're a Christian but you do not obey Jesus, you are not a Christian. And you've not really been saved. Well, preacher, no, I'm not. Jesus said you'll know by their fruit. We are not saved by the things that we do. But there are things we do differently as a child of God that the world doesn't do. And if we don't do the things that God says reflects on Him, then we don't belong to Him. And so we have to understand it's not just about trusting. Trusting's very, very important because that's where it starts. And if you don't trust, then you're not going to obey. But you see, when you trust God, and when God then tells you to do something, you know that, hey, listen, God told me to do this, so I know if God told me to do this, God is going to work it out. I may not like it, I may not understand it, but I'm going to trust, and I'm going to obey. Think about Abraham in the Old Testament. God told him in Genesis chapter 12, he said, "Abram, I want you to leave your pa and your grandma, all your friends, all the comfort and the things that are familiar to you, and I want you to start out on a trek to a place I'm going to show you." And that's exactly what the instructions were. He didn't say where he was going. He just said, "Go to where I'm going to take you." And guess what Abraham did? He did it. He packed his stuff up and went. Paul tells us that it was Abraham's obedience that God counted as righteousness. It was his trust. It was his faith. Because Abraham had faith that it was God that was telling him to do it, even though he didn't know where he was going or what was going to happen, he knew that God had made a promise to him and he was going to follow God's leading. When these servants were told by Jesus, "Fill these pots up with water," they did it. Jesus intervened then because of their obedience. And the water was changed to wine. And not just any old wine, not wine that came out of a box, but it was good wine. It was good wine. Why was it so good? Because the servants obeyed. When we obey Jesus, we see God work in our life. And sometimes the reasons we don't see God working is because we're not where we're supposed to be or we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. You know, it's easy to say, "Yeah, I trust God. Oh, God, I'll do anything that you want me to do," until He starts asking you to do stuff. And then it's something totally different, isn't it? So there's a key to not only trusting, but obeying. But then lastly, I want to see not only are these two keys important, but there's a third one, and it's the key of glorifying. So trusting, obeying, and glorifying. So they trusted, they saw this miracle, the first miracle that Jesus was to perform here on earth was changing water into wine. Verse 11 tells us that these were the beginning of signs that Jesus did, and it manifested his glory. And his disciples believed in him. They didn't have it all figured out yet, but they believed that he was at least somebody different. They didn't fully understand the ramifications of him being the Son of God and the work that he had come to accomplish and the part that they would play in that. They didn't fully grasp that yet, and they're not going to fully grasp it even at the end of this book, unfortunately. But they understand it better and more than they did. But they believed in him. And Jesus was glorified. Him being able to do that, why did he do it? Because he was the Son of God. And when God is working and God is doing things in our life, it's not to lift us up. It's not to make much of us. It should be to make much of him. To lift God up. And so if we're pointing to ourselves, we're pointing in the wrong direction. Now, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't tell people, you know, good job when they've done something good, or that we shouldn't celebrate victories and things like that. But what it does mean is that when we put the spotlight somewhere, it better not be on us. It better be on him. And the result of the spotlight being on him is it allows us to testify about what God has done for us. And others see that. Others see that God is working in that person's life. And well, if he can work in their life, he can work in mine too. And so maybe they begin to ask questions. And they search, as we'll see next week when we get to John chapter 3. We're going to meet a man that does come and ask Jesus some questions. So if we want to understand what living for Jesus is all about, it's trusting him, it's obeying him, and it's glorifying him. And by the way, not just on Sunday at 11 o'clock. It certainly does include Sunday at 11 o'clock, but it also includes Monday at 8 a.m. and Friday at 7 p.m. That in all that we do, we trust God and we obey God and we glorify God. And as we're doing that, that causes others to see that. You see, they can't understand. They don't have a relationship with God, but they know us, and they can see us. And so God says, your job is the same job Jesus had. Jesus said, the reason I came was to point people to God, the Father. And if we've trusted in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and obeying him, that means we are doing the same thing. We're pointing others to the Father. That's what it's about. You see, life is not about making our name great. It's not about amassing a bunch of stuff. It is about making much of God. It's about knowing God and making him known. That's where the secret of life really is at. And John wanted his gospel to bring that home, and I hope that we'll trust in that. And friend, I hope you have those keys today. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness and your love to us. Lord, thank you for the gospel and how it reminds us that you are almighty. And Lord, I believe you're still doing miracles today. Maybe not changing water into wine, but anytime you can take a life that is sowed in sin and make it into something great and something beautiful, Lord, that is a miracle. Salvation is a miracle. God, you continue to work in this world. May we see that. May we be a part of it. Lord, help us to trust you. Lord, if there's one here today that doesn't know you, they've never trusted you and received that free gift of salvation, today would you help them today? Just simply accept that free gift. Lord, maybe there's one of your children here today. Lord, they've trusted, but Lord, they're having issues with that obeying part. Lord, would you help them to listen and to know it's always best when we do as you call us to? And Lord, then help us as we see you work, help us not to let us get glory from that. But Lord, do help us to shine for you. Help us, we pray, to do that, to be your hands and feet. Lord, it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing a hymn of a response. If there's a decision you need to make, today would be a great day and a great time to make that.